typically, like a general rule of thumb could be 10 clicks without a sale is when you start to make some adjustments and optimizations. And that's to a really, really good well-seasoned listing. If it's earlier on, then there could be a little bit more leniency in terms of when you start to optimize. But really, the fundamental thing is you have to have a really good listing. You have to have a solid product. You can't just sell a Me Too product that's up there just competing based on price.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So Mark, back in the day, and I can say that now because I have gray hair on my chin. Back in the day, I learned Google AdWords. I used to spend a little bit of money and eventually grew it and grew it and grew it and grew it. Got to the point of spending $50,000 a week on Google AdWords, maxed it out, and then, you know, just do that on a monthly basis. And I didn't take any courses, and I should have. And I didn't hire any experts, and I should have. And I didn't outsource it, and I should have. Maybe they didn't exist. I don't know what the issue was. It was probably just inside my head. Today, there's almost too many experts and in every possible category, and some of them really just take your money. But you had someone on the podcast specifically talking about Amazon sponsored ads, which if folks, if you've got a physical product and you're not selling on Amazon simply because you don't think you need to, I personally will not shop for anything other than on Amazon. I will go there first. If I can't find it there, I think it doesn't exist. So I think something like 60% of people looking for a physical product shop on Amazon. So you've got to learn the Amazon ecosystem and sponsored ads and their marketing and things of that nature. And you had Michael Zagari, is that how you pronounce his last name, talking about this?
Yes, that's right. And he is an Amazon ads expert. And you're right, like back in my day, I don't have the same gray hairs mainly because I don't have a chin. I'm sorry, a beard. I have a chin.
It's very revealing about how you feel about yourself.
Why do you think we've stopped the videos? I have no chin. So I had Michael on, and you're right. Back in the day, it used to be that you could set up campaigns with pretty much every advertising platform, set them up, run them, and it'd take a little bit to get them up and going. But today, you really need to be an expert in each of these categories, each of these advertising platforms. Amazon is really no different than that. And what Michael does is he really helps people. He's developed a platform that people can use, which will help manage their advertising platform through Amazon, be able to identify those keywords that maybe they're paying for and add them to this negative keyword list to be able to make their ad spend a lot more efficient. In our conversation, which it's pretty funny, actually. So he actually has an Amazon store, and they sell litter boxes and other cat things. And during the video, which hopefully we'll get some clips up, that's a note to our editor, Chris. You got to get the clips up. His cat was literally like walking around all in the chair behind him and everything else. So very, very appropriate. We talked a little bit about the strategies that you can
I want to say, oh, cute, but I'm not sure if it actually was.
No. Well, I made a joke that we devolved into cat videos here at Quiet Light Brokerage just to get more views. We go into some of the strategies that he's employed over the years to be able to get some really crazy returns on his ad spend. And I don't want to quote them offhand. I'm going to let you listen to this because there's some solid numbers that he puts out there and some solid techniques. Then we talk about some other techniques that you can do to help out with your organic rankings as well on Amazon. So anyone that's an Amazon geek or has a business or multiple businesses on Amazon, you know, put this episode on. You got somebody here who's doing this at a pretty high level and very interesting as far as adding that paid portion and maximizing that paid portion to your acquisition channels.
I think, you know, even if you think you're an expert at it and you do pretty well, listening to other folks that do things maybe just slightly differently in the next 30 minutes, you'll pick up a nugget that'll help boost one of your campaigns or decrease your CPA.
All right, Michael, thank you for joining me.
Hey, glad to be here. What's up, guys?
All right, well, let's go ahead and start with an introduction, and I'm going to let you go ahead and do that like we usually do.
Sure, yeah. So my name is Mike Zagari. I am a recovering physical therapist, and I always lead with that because I was doing something from 9 to 5 that I absolutely hated for many, many years. You know, I loved helping out people, but it was definitely not my passion or my dream job. I'm a thoroughbred entrepreneur. And I think that runs in my family. And I realized that as I was going through college, that this is just like you know, not good, not what I want to do the rest of my life. So actually my hair was starting to fall out, and kind of went through it and was a physical therapist for 10 years. I started and sold a physical therapy home care practice in that time. Thankfully, I no longer have that, and I can focus now full time on Amazon. It has been an amazing journey along the way. And a part of that journey was discovering how to build an Amazon business and how to scale that business and get as much traffic and eyeballs to our listings as possible. And that's why we started working with sellers to help that as well, to help them get as much visibility for as efficiently as possible to their listings.
So when did you start your first Amazon business?
So I started in 2015. And at the time, I had a home care business, and I had a bunch of losing entrepreneurial ideas. Actually, the first time I dipped into Amazon, it was started off as eBay. And I realized, well, that's not something I can do full time. It's just too time consuming and it's not scalable. And then I tried to do retail and online arbitrage. And if you guys have ever heard of that, it can be profitable, but I think you really have to be in the right place at the right time. And I had no experience. I ended up ordering hundreds and hundreds of the wrong units to my house and completely like shut down the post office doing that. So like I really had the energy and the intensity, but it really had to be channeled in something that was like, you know, something where it was streamlined. Like Amazon FBA was perfect for me because you get to combine value creation, creativity, create something that's really, really great and new to the marketplace. And then it's much more scalable. And it's like kind of out of your hands at that point, once it gets to the FBA warehouse.
Sure, sure. So with retail arbitrage, you're going out, you're finding discounted products in other places, ordering them and then putting them into Amazon FBA, right?
Yeah, that's retail arbitrage. And online arbitrage is finding discounted deals on sites. But then the problem with that is like a lot of people found the same deals. So by the time you got your inventory over to Amazon, your profit margins were gone. And then you were left with a lot of inventory. So I feel like the model wasn't right for me. And Amazon FBA was like, you know, definitely the way to go in terms of selling on Amazon.
Sure. And we have kind of a hierarchy here at Quiet Light as far as the businesses we like to see on Amazon that we consider to be most sellable, with the retail arbitrage obviously being, you know, towards the bottom of that list, because it really requires that special skill in being able to find products. And like you said, you have the problem that there's a lot of arbitragers out there, right? They're looking for all the same opportunities. Everybody has the same equal opportunity for those, and it can be pretty difficult to scale that. Not that it can't be done. I've talked to some people that are doing arbitrage at a really, really high level, but it's pretty hard to transfer that as well. So when you're saying that you were doing Amazon FBA, are you doing private label? Or did you create a brand and a product? Where would you fall in that ecosystem?
Yeah, I do private label, and we have a brand that we're building. We sell cat products around litter solutions. We started there, and basically we started with one product that did really, really well, and we found a niche in the marketplace, made it better, and then we just were the first ones to the market. And then we reinvested all of that cash into other products based on the search term report. So basically we got into the minds of people who are shopping for our products, and you can see what they're actually looking for and what they purchased. And sometimes it's not always the same thing. So we would try to find the search terms that were similar to the products we were selling, and then come out with those products because we knew that there was an audience there and we knew we could cross sell. And then it steamrolled into like, okay, we have a bunch of litter solutions products. Why not cat toys? And why not this? And why not hospitality items? And now we're going to health and skincare as well for pets. So it's just kind of branching out from there. And now we have a brand and we're more focused in on building that brand. We have a community manager. We have all these different channels that we're engaging people on. We're getting Facebook groups, YouTube channels, stuff like that to really build up the brand, which I know when you go to sell a business, I feel like is the secret sauce that people are probably can utilize.
Right. And I would agree that brand, being able to have a good brand set up is towards the top end of that scale, right? So, you know, the arbitrage is kind of at the bottom end because it's really, really tough to sell those businesses, really tough to transfer those businesses. And a brand, you obviously have the protection of the brand and the goodwill that comes with that. And being in the pet space too, that's awesome, man. I know we don't put up the full interviews anymore. We're hopefully going to be putting up some clips, but your cat is literally like on the chair behind you. So
yeah, I locked him in the room so he wouldn't make any noise. But yeah, he's here. He's the inspiration behind the whole thing. You know, it was me and him. I was a bachelor when the whole thing started. And he's been here. He tests all the products. So he's ahead. Yeah, he's going well.
Right. So we're now devolving into the world of cat videos at Quiet Light Brokerage.
There we go.
In order to stoke views, videos. All right, cool. So the heart of what I want to get to, let's get into, like, you know, the real meat and potatoes. And that is paid product placement on Amazon. And I think there's a lot that we can really talk about here. And I want to start with just sort of the basics with this. And when I say that, when I think about an Amazon business, and when I know a lot of our buyers are evaluating an Amazon business, they're going to take a look at its organic rankings in Amazon. Obviously, we want to have good organic rankings, but there's also a really big role that paid placement can take in any Amazon business, and especially from a buying opportunity, being able to maximize that just in the same way that we would have organic rankings in Google versus paid rankings. They are a little bit different, have different flavors to them. And I'd like to pick your brain for, you know, the next 20, 25 minutes here about that whole process of paid products within Amazon. So why don't we just kind of start there? What would you describe, you know, the difference and kind of the role maybe that paid product placements on Amazon should take in an Amazon business?
So it really depends on your strategy. If you're going and you're launching a new product and you're trying to get up the best visibility on Amazon, then paid advertising is the way to do it. You can get top line visibility right from the very beginning. And that's something that we've been really doing really well, is because now we have an audience and we do paid advertising and we target people from our list over to Amazon and we have them purchase, but we also use the paid advertising to supplement that. We love paid advertising because it gives us massive visibility for specific keywords. And we know what people are shopping for. And for those specific terms, we want to dominate the marketplace. We want to have what's called the sponsored branding ad, which is the very top of the ad. We want to have a sponsored product ad, which is basically an ad directly to our listing. And then we want to have the organic placement. And we call that the swarming the competition approach, because now you have a lot of visibility for major keywords. And if people see you two or three, sometimes four times, because on sponsored branding ads, you can have your image in there a couple times, then you're more likely going to get that sale. And the way we look into it is that we make sure that our, what we call the true ACOS, which is the average cost of sale, which is our ad spend, is about 10% eats into our margins about 10%. And as long as that's happening, we're cool with that. We want to get as much visibility and as much exposure to our brand as possible. So typically what we look for is what we call an average cost of sale of about 40% or less. And then we scale at that level. And if it's impacting our account about 10% in total, then we're cool with that. When it starts to get more than that, then we start to optimize, because there's a lot of ways you can spend a lot of money on Amazon. You have to know how to optimize the right way. Otherwise, you can lose your shirt. There's so many people on that site. And there's different ways to do that with keyword bid prices and negative exacts, negative phrases, that kind of stuff. Also sending traffic to the right listing. There's various things you can do, but there's a lot to talk about. So I'm interested to get into it.
Well, let's back up a little bit here, because you threw out a couple numbers here. I just want to clarify here. So you said 10% into your margins. So what do you mean by that?
So your ad spend, let's say you're spending $10,000 a month and you're making $100K a month, then that's 10% right there.
Okay. And then you said 40% of 40% ACOS.
Yeah. So if you're spending 10K a month, let's say you're spending $1,000 on ad spend, then you'd want to make So basically, if you're spending 400, you want to make 1,000. That would be 40% ACOS. Right. So 400 ad spend to make 1,000 return on ad spend.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. So let's start with just kind of how this all works. How do you go about optimizing a paid spend? Because again, a lot of our buyers a lot of our listeners are buyers, right? And they're going to be inheriting a company that has an existing paid account or some paid advertising going on. Where do you start in that evaluation process to find out what you need to do to be able to optimize it?
So you start by looking at the search term report to see what people are actually searching for and how much the bid prices are. And there's a couple of different ways to optimize. You can do it on a keyword level. If a keyword is too expensive and it's really not, it's driving a lot of traffic, but it's not doing it at a profitable level, then that's just not a good thing. You want to start to lower down that keyword bid price to get a lower cost per click. And you really want to determine how many clicks it's going to take you to get that sale. And if it's too many clicks and your average cost per click is too high, then you're simply, unless there's another advantage of getting that traffic, maybe you're getting a return customer. You know, you're selling sports supplements and you could do 100% ACOS to get them in one time and have them come back again and again and again. That would be a good idea of when to do that. You could be a little bit more aggressive. But for somebody like me who sells cat products, typically about 12 to 15% of our customers are return customers. So we take that into account. But we try to keep it so that it's within our 40% ACOS because of that. And you have to tailor the keywords to make sure that they're not too expensive. And then you're wasting all of your ad spend on keywords that are just draining your ad spend.
Okay. All right. So you would start with a keyword report and you'd be looking to see what's driving sales right now, the costs that are areas that you could drive that down, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then where would you go after that?
So basically you would start with the keyword report, search term report, and then you would also find the search terms that are really, really not doing well at all. Some of them have zero like sales whatsoever, but tons of clicks. And those are the ones that you want to start to do a negative exact or phrase on, so that you can start to fine tune who's going to your listing and what you're paying for in terms of your ad spend. So, we use a tool inside of Entourage called Negative Word Finder, which will tell you the words that have never been associated to a profitable sale. And you find those and you could do a negative phrase match, which means any search term that the customer puts in, you're not going to get that exposure to your listing and you're never going to get hit again. If you do it on a campaign level, your entire campaign will be essentially shielded from any time somebody types in that word. On the negative exact is like if you could take the exact search term that's not generating any sales and you could use that as a negative exact. So this way you're not getting any exposure to that search term in its entirety.
How much, I mean, this is exactly the same process that you would use with, say, Google AdWords, it sounds like, right? You're taking a look to see what people are searching on, the stuff that's not really related or not really driving traffic to a site, what have you, driving conversions. That's within the AdWords world. How much data do you think you really need before you can start ruling out a certain phrase or certain words and adding those negative words? How long do you have to let it run before you can really know and draw any good conclusions?
And there's a lot of factors that go into it: seasonality, how new the product is the listing seasoned? Because you can make some decisions early on where a listing doesn't have a lot of reviews and doesn't have a lot of questions that people could ask. People could ask questions on a listing. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. Typically, like a general rule of thumb could be 10 clicks without a sale is when you start to make some adjustments and optimizations. And that's to a really, really good, well-seasoned listing. If it's earlier on, then there could be a little bit more leniency in terms of when you start to optimize. But really, the fundamental thing is you have to have a really good listing. You have to have a solid product. You can't just sell a Me Too product that's up there just competing based on price. It's got to have a really good high value to people who are searching for it. So if you start with that, then you can really have a better understanding of when you should start to optimize. But for the rule of thumb is basically 10 clicks without a sale is when you would start to do some work. Or 10 clicks with a relatively high ACoS, you would start to optimize that cost per click so that it's at a better cost. The bid price is better and not as expensive.
Okay. So in this case, if we're evaluating a business for sale and taking a look at it, one of the first things would be looking for that low hanging fruit of, hey, these guys are wasting money on their product sponsored listing spend, right? They've got a lot of keywords that they're paying for. We've received 10, maybe 20 clicks. We're not getting any sales from them. And that cost is pretty high. So that seems like pretty low hanging fruit there. When you're evaluating a campaign, and let's say that it's pretty clean that way, it looks like they're doing a decent job of going through and eliminating those non-productive keywords. Where do you look for, what do you look for opportunities to be able to expand upon what they currently have?
Yeah, so there's a lot of opportunities when typically you can see keywords that are performing really, really well that are within the desired ACoS range. Meaning if you're, let's say, an ACoS of 15%, that means for every $15 you're spending, you're making 100. So you may be missing out on some of the potential opportunity because your bid price is a little bit too low, or Amazon doesn't really, maybe your campaign budgets are a little bit too low. So you want to give Amazon more room to breathe. You want to basically tell them, hey, this works out for me. I want to do this any time of the day. And you would then go ahead and optimize your keyword bid price and also raise your campaign budgets so that you can get as much exposure to that opportunity as possible. And now it's a lot easier to see that stuff in bulk with software. You can see all of the individual keywords that are performing really, really well over a given period of time and where they really could use a little bit of a boost in terms of their ad spend. So you can give that more love and then direct traffic there and then negate it elsewhere.
Okay. Do you ever use paid sponsored listings for anything other than just the direct sales? I mean, are there some more creative strategies that people can use with these campaigns to be able to maybe juice up other parts of their organic rankings or other aspects of their account?
There's so many things you can do. Yeah, it's really exciting. There's different things that Amazon's coming out with. Now they just came out for sellers on Seller Central sponsored brands, headline search ads. So basically there's a much bigger creative element to that. And you can really brand, get massive exposure to your brand doing that. And if you've ever seen on Amazon, the very top ad very, when you go there, there's a main image to the left, there's a headline, and there's three product images. And you can direct traffic to a storefront, which is like basically your website on Amazon, or you can direct it to a single list of items on Amazon. And there's a whole bunch of strategies to do that. Very creative headlines. You have to be really good at copywriting, good main images. You have to connect the copy to the main image and to the three main products. And it's very simple, but I feel like there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of sellers really don't take the time to, make a good headline. They just kind of put stuff up there and just kind of set it and forget it. And I think that's a really big headline. It also sets the stage for sponsored products and for organic visibility. It's like the first line of defense, and people see your brand, then they may see you on sponsored products. They may not want to click on it. Then they see you organically. And as long as your numbers are right, we find that that approach really sets the stage for a sale.
All right. So you're talking about this again, once again, being in multiple places that people have those multiple touch points with you.
Exactly.
Okay. What are some of these other strategies? You said that there's lots of opportunities. Well, I want to get into one of these here and see, something that listeners can take away here as something that they could actually implement today.
Right. So if you have a brand, I think the biggest opportunity is to dig into your search term report and actually find out what people are looking for. That has been the best opportunity. There's so that people just don't really dig into that as much as they could. So that's like instant intelligence as to what people are looking for and how you can build and expand your brand. The next opportunity I would say is to really dive into sponsored products and headline search ads, because a lot of people, there's opportunity more so overseas now with sponsored product. It's getting a little bit congested in the USA, Canada, UK, Germany, all of these overseas markets. There's plenty of opportunity there. If you have a good product in the US, that's an easy way to expand. We're getting better numbers over there in terms of our PPC recently as we are than in the US. So that's a killer opportunity. And it's just that the world is really open right now. There's the doors have come down. There's just plenty of opportunity out there. But in terms of opportunity, really coming up with creative ideas and creative products and really diving into that is the way to go, in my opinion.
Are you able to share any creative things that you've seen over the past 6 months? What's one of the most creative, obviously not explaining or giving away anyone's trade secrets here, but what are some of the most creative things you've seen in the last 6 months?
Yeah, so I like to build a listing that incorporates the entire product line. And this basically is you're paying for traffic anyways. You're spending a lot of money to get your people to your site. Why not cross-sell your other products? Why not? And there's like five or six ways to do it within your listing that I think a lot of sellers aren't doing. You can have an image that has a basically a visual of all of your products in your line, a bullet point that explains that this is part of a product in a line. You can have a coupon that allows them to purchase another product in that line for a little bit less money. You could have what's called enhanced brand content now, which shows the entire product line and it has comparison charts with links to your other products. And also you can link people to your storefront. So I feel like that's the big play right now, is to get traffic over, but then really build a customer, build a loyal customer, retarget them with emails, and then get them on your sequence and then go from there. And then launching becomes very simple because you have this entire list. We did that process and we have about 7,000 new emails in 1 year, which doesn't seem like a lot, but these are customers who came to our site. They gave us their information. They registered for a coupon. They're loyal customers, and now we're retargeting them elsewhere. They're part of our fan base, and we can grow at that rate. That would be a great thing for us. So that's one tip, is to get more exposure to other products in your line.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about competition. This is something that I hear from a lot of people that are looking at the Amazon space, looking to possibly buy, but aren't quite sure about it. And the number one fear, and even among sellers for that matter, what I hear is this kind of worry about competition and taking away from that share that maybe they've built up over the years. What are some ways, in your opinion, that sellers can start to protect against that slow bleed that happens so often with product lines?
Yeah, it does happen. It really does. I mean, there's going to be competition within 6 to 8 months or less of whatever you're selling. That happened to us with all of our product lines. And it's always been about reinventing and coming up with new stuff. If you're not reinventing, I feel like there's entropy is going to take place, and that's just inevitable. Also, just keep in mind that Amazon consistently raises their fees. And then also from a PPC perspective, there's more competition. So the cost for clicks are going up, not down. So constantly squeezing out that margin, which is something that you have to be very mindful of. So the protection mechanism that I feel is the best thing is your audience, because if somebody is loyal to your product brand outside of Amazon, if someone loves you outside of Amazon, they're going to come to Amazon to purchase your product, even if it's a little bit more expensive. So you can maintain your profit margins that way. The other thing is having going where people typically don't go. So oversized items, like really, really big items. People are usually scared away because the cost per unit to purchase that may be a little bit too expensive. And basically there's a bigger barrier to entry and it scares more people, which I feel like is a bigger opportunity. So if you combine that, and even if you sell like 5 or 10 of those a day versus like 100, you know, widgets at a dollar profit, it just pays off that way. I think those are ultimately the mechanism to really scale.
Yeah, and those are things that we've been emphasizing for years. I'm glad that you said that because it makes me look smarter than I probably actually am. But these things, the less desirable niches is one that we see, you know, not with Amazon businesses alone. It's actually with any online business, right? The barrier to entry, which might be a little bit scary from a buying standpoint. I remember we had a business that was selling a certification program, right? And a lot of buyers were worried because they were thinking, I don't know anything about this. How can I actually teach people how to get certified with it? Well, you know what? That's protection against competition. And so when you get into those sort of less desirable niches where you have to solve a problem, and I think that's the big thing. If you can figure out how to solve a problem, that problem is something that other people are going to have to deal with as well. That's really key. And you're echoing as well. That's something that Chad Rubin from Skubana told me on the podcast several episodes ago, and that is that continual product development. You know, he made the point that Apple comes out with an iPhone every year, and pretty much, cars come out with a new car every year. It's not that the previous cars don't work well. They do. They could continue to just produce those ones, but they want to create some new excitement among their consumers. And then finally, again, I know I'm literally just reiterating what you said, but I think it's important enough to do so. Moving that brand so that it's not just Amazon-centric and dependent, but creating that brand and that kind of loyal customer base outside of Amazon as well.
Yeah. So, and one more thing I want to add to that is intellectual property, especially at Amazon. I mean, I'll give you guys a quick story. So we sell cat products and we started selling this cooling pad basically 2 summers ago. And it was a huge seller, very seasonal item, obviously, but it was a huge seller. And then the next summer we got an email from a company saying that they had intellectual property rights to that thing. It basically kicked off everybody on Amazon, and they are just doing obviously nobody can compete with them. And they're making so much money. So if there's a product out there that you think is, and I've actually had trouble with this. I don't have a lot of experience with this, but I've never really come up with a product that is truly patentable. But I feel like if there is something, some intellectual property you can get, and you have something great on Amazon and there's no other competition because you're the only one, man, you do really well.
Yeah. And nobody thinks about the IP portion until it gets crowded, right? I mean, that's when you start thinking about IP. At first it's like, hey, it's a big pie. Everybody can have some. And then you're like, well, actually this pie is starting to get a little bit crowded. I'd like to be able to protect my slice. But you're right, being able to protect that, what you have through intellectual property is a really, really key thing to do, and do it early as well.
Oh, yeah. They're on Amazon, it's almost inevitable you'll come up. There'll be people who will try to get your slice, I mean, sooner or later. And it may be from random countries, and sometimes they don't always play the right way. So it's important to make sure you have that, I feel.
Awesome. All right. I feel like we could probably branch into another topic, but then we would end up going completely off our existing conversation. So I'm gonna have us wrap up right there. I know that you also started PPC Entourage, and that is to help Amazon paid accounts, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. And you want to tell us just a little bit about what you're doing over there?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2016 is when I started my business. 2015, 2016, I spent a lot of time with sponsored products. And it was just a pain. It was great because we got a lot of visibility, but it was frustrating because it just took forever to get it done. So basically, it's my first experience working with a SaaS business, and it has been an amazing experience. Basically, what we did is we made sure that everything that we did to scale our business could be done in like a fraction of the amount of time. So if you're looking to get more exposure to your Amazon business, if you're looking to spend less on ad spend, if you're looking to optimize in a quick, efficient way, PPC Entourage can help you do that. We have now we have bulk edit tools, which allow you to look into campaigns, all of your campaigns all at once to see what those winners are. You can get more money and more scale, spend more money on those particular keywords and campaigns. And then also we have something called Autopilot, which is becoming much more intuitive. Basically something that goes in every single night, looks at your metrics, looks at the settings that you placed, and makes really calculated adjustments to your keywords so that you're not spending a ton of money on ad spend. It makes adjustments every single night. So that's really, really cool. We also just launched Spotlight, which is our headline search, basically our solution to headline search, which allows you to create 27 different variations of headline search ads. Anyone who's on Seller Central knows it's one at a time. It's a huge pain in the butt, takes forever. But this allows you to find the best products, allows you to find the best images, allows you to find the best headlines. We have a headline creator. It allows you to find 27 different combinations, and you can slowly send them off to Amazon over time and then optimize those ads. So that's PPC Entourage and PPC Entourage Spotlight. And it's a growing business, and we're so excited about where it can go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast here. And if anyone wants to reach you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Sure. You can go to ppcentourage.com, or you can also go and email me at mike@ppcentourage.com.
Awesome. We'll include those links in the show notes. So those will be at the bottom. Just scroll past the transcript and you'll be able to see it. Thank you so much for coming on, and let's have you on again in the future.
All right. Thanks. Take care, Mark.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.